The Second World War, a podcast by Stephen Bedard.
Having looked at the Axis last time, now we will look at the Allied powers. They were normally just called the Allies, but a declaration in 1942 gave them the name the United Nations. While this was the precursor of our modern United Nations, it was much different in form. While the term United Nations was sometimes used after that date, it is preferable to look at these nations as the Allies. We often think of the Allies as Britain, the United States, and the Soviet Union. The Big Three make a nice contrast to the three powers of the Axis. However, neither the United States nor the Soviet Union were part of the Allies at the beginning of the war. Plus, there were numerous other countries involved. Still, it was Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin that shaped much of the policy of the war, so it's understandable. The Allies at the very beginning of the war were Poland, Britain, and France. That is because both Britain and France had treaties with Poland, and the invasion of Poland is considered the beginning of the war. I'm going to skip over some countries, including Poland, to focus on the more active members. Although be aware that Polish soldiers continued to fight throughout the war. I'll talk more about the invasion of Poland in a later episode. We will start with France, the only country that ended up occupied by the Axis that we will look at in this episode. It could be argued that they were the first of the Allies as they had a treaty with Poland before Britain. When we're talking about France at the beginning of the Second World War, we're talking about the French Third Republic. France had long been a major power in Europe. France had traditionally been at odds with Britain, but that all seemed to change by the 20th century. France and Britain fought together against Germany in the First World War. In fact, much of the action, or perhaps inaction, of the First World War Western Front took place in France. Charles de Gaulle and Philippe Pétain, both important figures in the Second World War, fought in the First World War. The First World War ended with the Treaty of Versailles, which was signed in France. Although France was on the winning side, it had been exhausted by the First World War. In terms of future defense against Germany, they relied upon the Maginot Line along their border rather than building up and investing in their army. This would come back to haunt them. The Prime Minister of France at the outbreak of the Second World War was Paul Reynaud, who would be the penultimate Prime Minister of the Third Republic. Our next member of the Allies is that of Britain. Britain was the longest fighting member. Sure, there were Free French who continued to fight even after the fall of France, but as a nation, Britain was the only one to fight from the beginning to the end, receiving the brunt of Axis aggression in both Europe and the Pacific. Britain had played a key role in the First World War, coming to Europe after the Germans invaded Belgium and taking up positions alongside the French. They would come to the aid of the French again in the Second World War, but with much less success. And that's saying something, as they weren't able to gain much ground on the Germans in the First War. Winston Churchill, who would become such a key figure in the Second World War, was also important in the First War. Unfortunately, his reputation in the First War was greatly damaged after the disastrous battles at Gallipoli, but Churchill would have an opportunity to redeem himself. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom at the outbreak of the Second World War was Neville Chamberlain, who served from 1937 to 1940. He's best known for his policy of appeasement. We will spend some more time on this in a later episode, but I do need to say that he seemed to have really believed that Hitler could be reasoned with and that there was a diplomatic solution to the growing hostilities. It's easy for us to dismiss his views with the benefit of hindsight. When we talk about Britain, we need to remember that they brought more than the members of the United Kingdom to the table. There was also the British Commonwealth. These included Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. Australia and New Zealand proved themselves in the First War at Gallipoli and the Canadians at Vimy Ridge. We'll see that there was some tension between Australia and Britain later on in the war, especially as things intensified in the Pacific and there were fears of an invasion of Australia. While not having the same freedom or independence as the Dominions, Britain also had India to call upon. India ended up providing 2.5 million soldiers for the fight, not to mention great financial resources. This brings us to the United States of America. Some may be surprised to know that the United States was not a major military power before the First World War. The main role the United States played in the victory over Germany in the First War was not their overwhelming military might or experience, but rather the influx of fresh troops after Germany had exhausted itself by knocking Russia out of the war. One of the main ramifications of their involvement in the first war was the crack it made in their isolationism. Their president at the time, Woodrow Wilson, ran on a platform of keeping out of European conflict. Only some major missteps by Germany allowed Wilson to bring them in. Something similar would happen with Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was sympathetic to Britain's war with Germany and did all he could to support them without bringing the United States directly into the war. He knew that the nation was not ready for direct involvement. Only the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor would change things. The United States was an economic power that had grown significantly since the First World War. One of its greatest strengths was its industry. It was able to bring this immense power to bear, first to provide the crucial resources for Britain, eventually for itself, and then also the Soviet Union. The United States was closely allied with Britain, with Roosevelt and Churchill having a close relationship. Even though they, together with the Soviet Union, were the big three, these two English-speaking nations worked more closely together. This brings us to the Soviet Union, also known as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Russia began the 20th century like many other European nations, ruled by royalty. The difference was that Russia was far behind the other European countries in terms of industrialization. Russia was one of the first countries drawn into the First World War. Basically, what happened was Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia. Coming to Serbia's aid, Russia declared war on Austria-Hungary. Coming to Austria-Hungary's aid, Germany declared war on Russia. And on it went. We'll have a summary of the First World War in a future episode. It is possible that Russia experienced more change than any other country, including Germany, during the First World War. Not only was the royal family overthrown, there was a communist revolution under the leadership of Vladimir Lenin. This revolution caused Russia to withdraw from the First World War, freeing up Germany to focus on the Western Front. One of Lenin's closest companions was Joseph Stalin. Lenin died in 1924, and Stalin ended up becoming the leader of the Soviet Union. It was more complicated than that, but that's enough to know for now. Stalin was an extremely harsh leader and was responsible for many murders. It's likely that Stalin is responsible for more deaths than Hitler, and they definitely were peers in terms of the depths of evil. Germany and the Soviet Union were natural enemies. This is not just because of the brutal warfare of the First World War. Blaming the communists for Germany's woes played a large part of Hitler's rhetoric while gaining power. Hitler always seemed to have intentions of attacking the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union seemed to understand the danger posed by Hitler and Germany, and they reached out to Britain and France. These countries responded to those invitations quite coldly, possibly out of prejudice against Stalin and his communism, or perhaps out of doubt as to how valuable of an ally they would be. Hitler was aware of Britain and France's rejection, and he saw an opportunity when he saw one. In 1939, Germany and the Soviet Union signed a non-aggression pact, but this was more than just a promise not to fight one another. When Germany invaded Poland, there was an agreement that the Soviet Union would invade from the east. Also, in 1939, the Soviet Union invaded Finland. There was strong criticism from the West at this invasion, and Churchill in particular had harsh words. The West cheered as the Finns, against all odds, were extremely successful toward the Soviets. Things changed radically in 1941 when Germany invaded the Soviet Union. This will be covered in much more detail later, but this event pushed the Soviets into the arms of the Allies. In fact, the Soviets carried on the lion's share of the military activity against Germany until the invasion of Italy. Stalin was very aware of this and continually pushed Britain and the United States for a second front. We will hear much more of this in the future. Just be aware that relations between the Soviet Union and the other Allies were not always smooth, even when they were fighting on the same team. Long before the Soviet Union or the United States, before even Britain and France were fighting members of the Axis, there was China. The Second Sino-Japanese War was from 1937 to 1945. This was the second time that China and Japan had been at war recently, with the First Sino-Japanese War being from 1894 to 1895. China is being left until now not because of any lack of value of their efforts, but because they did not officially join the Allies until just after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. We can only have the barest of backgrounds on China, but for more information, you might want to check out the China History podcast. What we know is that the Republic of China was established in 1912 with the overthrow of the Qing dynasty. In 1929, there was a violent conflict between China and Japan, which resulted in the deaths of thousands of civilians. This caused relations between the two countries to deteriorate. To make matters worse, China was already in the midst of a civil war, which started in 1927, between the Kuomintang-led government and the Communist Party of China. The conflict between the two groups would continue for some time, even though there was a temporary cooperation against Japan. The war between China and Japan began in 1937 with the Marco Polo Bridge incident. The nationalist government was led by Chiang Kai-shek, while Mao Zedong led the communists. These two sides worked together, and I mean together quite loosely, against the Japanese from 1937 to 1941. The five nations mentioned so far were the main powers that comprised the Allies. However, there were a number of other countries, including Brazil, Cuba, and Mexico, among numerous others. Add to these the countries that were invaded by the Axis powers and who fought together for their freedom. But what we have looked at so far gives us a pretty good idea where the pieces were at the beginning of the war. Our next steps will be to have a quick look at the First World War and then the Spanish Civil War, both conflicts which greatly affected the Second World War. Thanks for listening to this episode. Please check out the website at secondworldwarpodcast.net and track me down on Twitter and Facebook. If you enjoyed this podcast, consider leaving a review on iTunes, and even better, support me at patreon.com/hopesreason. Thank you, and God bless.